Tatra. There. Swashrihi. Own sisters. May. My. Nanu. Surely. Bartrit Samitakov. Along with their husbands. Matri Swasrihi. The sisters of my mother. Klinadiham. Affectionate. Cha. And. Mataram. Mother. Mother's Day. Drakshe.
I shall see.
Chira Utkanta Manaha. Been very anxious for a long time. Maharishabihi. By great sages. Uniyamanam. Been raised. Chap. And. Mrida. O Shiva. Udhvara. Sacrifice. Dvajam. Flags. Translation. My sisters, my mother's sisters, and their husbands, and all affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So if I go, I shall be able to see them, and I shall be able to see the flapping flags and the performance of the sacrifice by the great sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I'm very much anxious to go. Okay. That's how it sounded. In case you don't know. My sisters. You should repeat. My sisters. My mother's sisters. And their husbands. And other affectionate relatives.
Must be assembled there.
So if I go.
I shall be able to see them.
And I shall be able to see. Flapping flags. And the performance of the sacrifice.
And the performance of the sacrifice.
By the great sages.
By the great sages.
For these reasons.
For these reasons.
My dear husband.
My dear husband.
I'm very much anxious to go.
I'm very much anxious to go.
So for purifies, divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated before, the tension between the father-in-law and son-in-law persisted for a considerable time. Sati, therefore, had not gone to her father's house for a long time. Thus, she was very anxious to go to her father's house, particularly because on that occasion her sisters and their husbands and her mother's sisters would be there. As is natural for a woman, she wanted to dress equally to her other sisters and also be accompanied by her husbands. She did not, of course, want to go alone. So, Tatra Svasrir Me Nanu Bhatri Sammita Matri Swashri Klinadiham Chamaturam Durakshi Chirut Kantamana Maharshivir Unni Umanam Chamudad Vodra Dvajam. Okay. So, Omagana Timananda Shah. Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's at least two ways of looking at this particular statement. One is the fanatical Hare Krishna way, and the other one would be the empathic way. Okay. So fanatical Hare Krishna way is we'd be saying, wow, she is in Maya. And also women are less intelligent. And so that's a fanatical Hare Krishna way. I'm going to contrast the two. Because as Prabhupada states here in several places, that the ladies like to get dressed up equally to their sisters. And we've given the example before. Many of you weren't here when I gave that example, how I was in Fiji. So it bears speaking about again. It's a practical example, illustrates the fact that when I was in Fiji, There was this priti bhoj, which means it's a ceremony before the marriage. It's interesting, marriages in the Indian system are actually quite a little more complicated than marriages in the West. In the West, they just go up and say, do you take Herman as your husband? And do you take Petunia as your wife? So help you God. And we're hoping God will help you. Anyway, so... And you definitely need God's help. Anyway, from a sannyasi's perspective. So, you say, I do. You may now kiss the bride. And that's it. So, in the Indian system, actually, the marriages are actually a little bit longer than that. Sometimes they're days and days. So, one of the systems is before the marriage, the day before the marriage is called the priti bhoj, which means, basically, like we have an ISKCON love feast. You understand? Love feast. Actually, Prabhupada, one time we talked about love feasts. He said the cannibals also have love feasts. They take their grandfather and throw him off of a roof or something like that to soften up the flesh, and they eat him. So that's called their love feast. So every culture has their own type of love feast. So we're vegetarians and we're not cannibals. So we have our vegetarian love feast. Anyway, so they have this feast, and the feast is sponsored by the groom's family. You understand the groom? Everybody knows what a groom is? That means the man is getting married. So it's sponsored by the man's family. So everybody gathers there, and I mentioned before that I was at someone else's house shortly before the ceremony. I didn't go to the ceremony. But shortly before the ceremony, I was at someone else's house taking prasadam for dinner, and I noticed that some of my disciples were sneaking in the back door of the house. I said, well, why don't they come in the front door of the house? You know, I'd like to say hello to them. And then, you know, I looked, you know, to strain my neck, to look at the back of the room. It was a pretty big room. Look at the back room, and they were all decked out. I mean, really decked out. I mean, just, I've never seen deities dress so nicely in my life. So they were, you know, really, I mean, just earrings and nose rings and toe rings. In India, they don't use tongue rings. It's only in the West that people put tongue rings on. Anyway, it's a good idea. That way you can control the tongue. You just tie it down. Right? Just tie it. Anyway, so I was looking. I said, wow. Are they dressed like that for me? And then Andrew said, no way. You know, when I go to their house, they just dress normally. There must be something special going on. So then I realized that they were going to the priti bhoj, the love feast. I didn't go to the priti bhoj, but it was at the temple hall, and my flat or apartment, for those of you born in America, was right outside that. And I was watching how the ladies were showing off their outfits to each other. And I was thinking, boy, this is interesting. Anyway, so not because I wanted to see some ladies' fashion show, but I was just like thinking, you know, people are watching. And also when I was young, it was like that too. When I went to religious ceremony, we had these high holy days in my religion that I was brought up in. And, you know, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And the ladies all had to have a new outfit. How did I know that? I was just a kid. Because my mother... She had to have a new outfit every year, and the outfit could not look the same as anyone else's outfit. If, God forbid, you know, that two ladies were wearing the same outfit, it would have been a major disaster. I mean, I don't know what would have happened. So, therefore, she sewed her own outfit. You know, she designed it and sewed it so no one else would have the same outfit. And she would go there. And also... And everyone, oh, what a nice outfit you have, sweetie. Then it was once he like that. And of course, in the Christian religion, they have the Easter bonnet, right? Everybody shows off their Easter bonnet and other outfits like that. And, you know, it's just like, and of course, in, you know, Hinduism, you have your Bhagavad Saptahas. And also, those of you who are members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, I think some of you might be here, that... then you're into, the ladies are interested in latest saris, you know, like that. Like if someone else gets his wife a nice sari and your wife doesn't have a nice sari, your wife will say to you, why do you never get me nice saris? But I just bought you a sari. But so-and-so just got a sari. Just from India. Your husband went to India. Ooh. And you don't love me. And the poor guy is shaking there, love. What does that mean? Just saris? Anyway, so this is the purpose of the class is not to criticize women. I'm going to get to the point in a second, so don't worry, ladies. So one could take that particular thing and say, boy, this is really materialistic. You know, us men, we're not interested in clothes. We're just interested in who's more powerful than the other person, we're not in Maya. We don't care about what clothes we wear. As long as we can beat up someone, we're happy. So the men are proud, thinking they're better, but it's just a different type of Maya. It's like Baskin Robbins ice cream. How many varieties does it come in? 31. I don't know. I've never taken prasadam there. So, anyways, so the men are thinking, we're not interested in clothes. We're just interested in beating people up. I mean, I'd rather be interested in clothes than beating people up. who's the strongest person? I mean, it's actually probably, beating people up was in the mode of ignorance and, football games like that. Like I have my mother got remarried and her husband is just like, sits all the, it's called a couch potato. And that, he gets a lot of exercise with his fingers and the remote control, just like seeing which gorilla beats up another gorilla. That's called football. And then in other countries, they have actually football, a different type of football. Soccer is called football in other countries. And even even rougher, it's called rugby. Anyone hear of rugby before? Rugby means like football without the uniforms. In other words, without the shoulder stuff and all the helmets to protect you, just like it's... And then in other places, they have this type of wrestling where there's no rules. Even I went to visit one sannyasi in his home, and he was watching this wrestling match. I won't mention his name. He lived in California. Anyway, so, and I said, how could you watch that? He said, it's so funny. But anyway, so... So in other words, the women have their, special Maya, and the men have their special Maya. So we can use this. So I want to be equal to everybody. I don't want to be seen as a sexist, that everybody's in Maya. And so we can find fault in everybody and call everybody names, isn't it? He's in Maya, she's in Maya. You're materialistic. You're just a thug. The men can be called, you're just a thug. And the women, you're just interested in clothes. You're just interested in computers. And so, anyways, you can get into all this fault finding, and it really doesn't get you anywhere, because as we mentioned yesterday, when you try to negate someone's attachment to the world, and these are attachments. These are not something that's going to bring you to Krishna. I mean, just like frankly speaking, if you're interested in watching football games, that's not going to bring you to Krishna. Or if you're interested in watching anything that's not connected with Krishna, interest in decorating yourself, it's not going to bring you to Krishna. I mean, just frankly, it's just not going to. I just got to be honest about the whole thing, whether it's men Maya or woman Maya. It just, it separates you from Krishna. So generally, the devotees, they would just take a negative slant on these things. They would just criticize someone else's Maya, thinking that that will help someone get out of Maya. Actually, it has the opposite effect. Because we all have a need for, what's called autonomy, making our own decisions in life. So as soon as you try to impose even Krishna consciousness on someone, then they usually do the opposite. Just because it's the opposite. I mean, I thank God every day that my mother was not Krishna conscious. Why is that? Because she would have just forced me to be a good devotee, and then I would have rebelled, and, you know, I would be out there with the rest of the Gurukulis right now. You understand? I mean, obviously, I want my mother to be Krishna conscious, but I'm speaking in a facetious way right now. Because I just want to say, you know, I have a need for autonomy. Just like I've given the example many times. My mother forced me to make a bed, and to this day, I can't make beds. I look at a bed, and I can't figure out what to do with it. It just bewilders me. You know, what side does the sheet go on? Where's the pillow supposed to go? How to put a pillowcase on a pillow? You know, I can't even figure that out. Even though I can do differential equations and do things on a computer, I can't figure out how to put a pillow in a pillowcase. So it's just like, huh? Is it going this way, that way? I can design buildings, but I can't do that. Anyway, so the point is we rebel against people. Rebel. There's a natural need for autonomy. So, and even if we didn't rebel, you can't do a don't, or you can't do a negative. It's just impossible. There's an interesting example I just heard yesterday. Very interesting story from India. Once upon a time, there was a family called the Patel family. Anyone's heard of a Patel family before? The hotel, motel, Patels. Anyway, there was a Patel family, and they got very upset that, you know, that it got dark at night. You know, really upset. Did you hear this example before? Oh, you heard it. They got really upset it was dark at night, and so they thought, you know, when darkness comes or night comes, we're going to beat it up. You know, in other words, they're going to be negative towards the negative. In other words, do a don't. You know, don't do this. Don't be dark. So anyway, so they all gathered their sticks and everything like that, and they were outside, you know, waiting for night to show its ugly face. Because what is night? Night is the absence of light, right? Isn't that right? It's a negative. It's not a positive. You know, of course, I know when we were hippies, we had black lights. But that's something different. You know what a black light is? No one knows what a black light is. Yeah, black light is like a ultraviolet, slightly ultraviolet light, or infrared or something like that. Light so that if you have certain colors, it makes them effulgent. The hippies use this all the time. It's called a black light. But anyway, so, but blackness is the absence of light. Just like Maya is the absence of what? Krishna. In the famous verse, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is the sun, Maya is darkness. So Maya is the absence of Krishna. That's her existence. Anyway, so this family was out there with their sticks, and as usually happens, it started to be dark. You know, the sun went down. Absence of sun means darkness at night. And they had their sticks out, and they were running around like that. Take this darkness. Take that darkness. Take that darkness. And so after about 12 hours, the darkness was frightened and went away. That's called the daytime. And they thought, joy, we've actually conquered darkness. This is fantastic. You know, darkness has actually succumbed to our power. So then the next, you know, they were sitting in their house very happy. And the next night, you know, it's the next evening, darkness came again. And especially in the house, it was dark. So with the house, then they started like, you know, with the sticks and everything like that. And the next morning when the light came on, they were all bloodied because they had hit each other. Interesting story. They had just beaten up each other. And they thought, well, this darkness is real tough to defeat. So the moral of the story is you can't get rid of darkness by negating darkness. The only way you can get rid of darkness is with light. All right, so let's get to this particular description here. So anyway, so you have all these people, men, women. I mean, just like, for example, you know, these verses seem to be a little critical of women, but, you know, Daksha is the real antagonist in this particular story. You understand? Daksha, who is the, you know, he's offensive to Lord Shiva and everything like that. So men are actually causing more of the problems than the women. The women, they're just interested in clothes, but men, they're interested in beating each other up in this story, isn't it? Think about this story. You know, because as men, we think, you know, we're much better than women. We're more intelligent. They'll quote so many quotes from Shastra. It's us. We couldn't be prouder. But look at this story. You know, Sati was just loyal to her husband, interested in clothes. But Lord Shiva and Daksha, sure, they really got into it. I mean, they were cutting off heads, you know, knocking people's teeth out. I think it's better to be interested in clothes than knocking people's teeth out and cutting off heads, isn't it? So who's more intelligent? Anyway, so actually we gave one class in New Taliban, you know, so pretty much stating this, that, you know, the women are more intelligent in many ways than men, and, you know, half the people walked out of class. Anyway, so I won't have that problem here. I speak the opposite, you know, how men are more intelligent than women to walk out of class. Anyway, so getting to the point, all right. So we're looking at different people's illusion. So anyway, there's different ways to look at it. And I think the better way to look at it is that Sati here is actually dealing with her needs. And, you know, basic needs. And her need is, you know, for interaction, social interaction. Nothing wrong with that, isn't it? You know, if we actually analyze it in terms of basic needs, it's a need for social interaction, you know, appreciation, other things perhaps, you know, a society, a stable society. You know, anyway, so many things she has needs for, right? Which is good. There's good, nothing wrong with the needs. It's just the question that her strategy has some challenges to it. So, therefore, and we can do that with anybody's illusion, you know, anybody's maya. Like, let's say the men, for example, they're, you know, the big, tough men, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. And even when we see this, you know, even when someone doesn't fight with their muscles and someone's philosophical, you know, then they fight with their mouth, not biting like monkeys, but they fight with their mouth by arguing. So, you know, I'm right. Men always have to be right. Not always, but generally they want to be right, isn't it? You know, don't challenge me. Or the men have their little, even the animals are like that, like the bulls, you know, they have their little herd, and if another bull comes in, they go, it's my herd. Even if a human being comes in, they attack the human being, you know, what to speak of another bull. And the bull has to start, or the monkey, gorilla has to establish his supremacy over his herd. And when he gets too old, another gorilla comes over and takes over his herd. Isn't it? That's a gorilla business. So anyway, so let's analyze this. These are just different basic needs. So if a man really wants to be superior, you know, I guess he has, he really, what would his need be? You know, that he wants to be better than anyone else. He just, you know, self-esteem, you know, self-confidence like that. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. But his strategy, there's a problem there. Anyway, so just look at this, what's happening here. She has a need for a nice society. She has a need for love. She has a need for a social interaction and everything like that. So, if she understood it on the basis of needs rather than thinking about her strategy, she wouldn't have caused that many difficulties in this story. She could have just said, well, let me go to the Hare Krishna temple then. You know, and make friends with the devotees. But instead, she was fixed on a particular strategy. That means my family. That's the only way I'm going to fulfill that need, is mixing with my family. Just like in Krishna consciousness, I mean, we have the family of devotees. I mean, since I've joined the Krishna consciousness movement, I'm very happy and associated with devotees. I'm very happy with my family. I don't feel need for, like, family reunions or anything like that. Mother called me about 2 years ago. We're going to schedule a family reunion. And I was going, oh my God, let me make sure I'm in India at that time so I can't come. And then I got a notice from my university and also from the high school. There's high school reunion and the class of 1901. 1856, you know, the Civil War veterans or something like that. We're all gonna, you know, we're all gonna meet. I said, huh? And then I go on Facebook and some previous friend, you know, from the university years says, hey, and I'm not gonna mention my Carmi name. Hey, Fred, you know, you remember me? I'm your old roommate and university, remember the good times we had, you know, 100 bottles of beer on the wall. No, not really, I never drank. But anyway, so if I think, yes, I do have a need for, you know, society, friendship, and love, and all those other things, but let me fulfill it in a way that's Krishna conscious, the way that also fulfills my spiritual needs, too. So I can remain, because I have a real need to connect to Krishna. So, you know, I have to think of all my needs, not just one need. The problem is she's just thinking of one need here, or just taking the strategy to fulfill one need without thinking, hey, what about these other needs, you know? I have a need, you know, for stability in my household life, you know. Wasn't actually the best thing to do for stability, because she actually ended up immolating herself in this particular story. So anyway, so if you actually think about, you know, your spiritual needs, then any of the needs, basic needs you have, can be fulfilled, which is interesting. Any of the basic needs you have, you know, for society, friendship and love, we have devotees, you have a need for food, there's prasadam, you have a need for philosophy, stories. Yeah, everyone has a need for stories. So you can say, you know, stories and adventure and romance. So you can either watch certain films that give you romance and stories. There's like, yesterday I was reading the newspaper, this new film came out about this new Star Trek. Anyone's heard about this? No. Star Trek, like a predecessor to the old Star Trek. I think where you can read how everybody was born and raised, so they became like, some of that. So anyway, soldiers or whatever it is that populate the Enterprise. So anyways, I don't know if any of you know about this stuff. Thank God you don't. I do. Anyway, so instead we have, there's actually Krishna conscious adventure, Krishna conscious fun, Krishna conscious romance. I mean, I tell you, Radha and Krishna's romance is a hell of a lot more interesting than, you know, the romance between two Bollywood stars and some, or Hollywood stars in some movie magazine that you see in the supermarket, right? The supermarket still has these magazines. It's a hell of a lot more interesting. And it meets your need for spiritual advancement. You know, instead of reading how Rock Hudson is getting to—he's probably died, but anyway, so is getting together with Jacqueline Kennedy now or something like that. It shows how much I know about these things. I mean, these are the last people I heard about. So instead of reading about that stuff, you'd read and you hear about Krishna. It's so exciting. And all your needs are fulfilled. Yes, your basic needs are fulfilled. And also your spiritual needs are fulfilled. And it's, you know, it's holistic. The problem is when we're trying to fulfill our needs, we're not holistic. We're just like thinking about one there, right? So you got to think about all of them and pick a strategy the way you get it, where they all just like cooperate, you know, and work together, and you're just really jolly at that point. Like, for example, if someone gets drunk, I mean, what's their need if they get drunk? Does anyone know? Need when someone gets drunk?
To escape. To
escape. Well, basically, to have peace, a need for peace. Because, you know, the world is so just hellish or whatever, or they're addicted. I mean, there's different reasons people are drunk, but let's say, take the person who's escaping, you know, like the mortgage is supposed to be paid and everything like that. So instead, chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever, as Prabhupada would say. You know, so we have methodologies to actually give you the same, fulfill the same basic needs that you have by taking some material strategy. We have, that's why Prabhupada said we can stop this drug addiction. You know, Prabhupada was in Chicago and he was talking to the lieutenant, Mulser, I think was his name. He said, you know, we can stop this drug addiction. Just give us City Hall, isn't it? You know, Prabhupada basically, you know, said that. So anyway, yes, we can fulfill all needs in a Krishna conscious way, and we don't need to get negative with people. So if someone has a need to decorate and dress, as we mentioned yesterday, then all right, fine, go shopping. Go to Loy Bazaar. You know what Loy Bazaar is? Go to Loy Bazaar and buy new saris. Go to Kanchipuram and buy handloom silk saris for the deities. Go there. Yeah, Haribo with our blessings and your money. But and then you'll be happy. You understand? When you put earrings on Krishna and you offer food to Krishna, you become so happy. All your needs are fulfilled, and you go back to God. All right. Sorry, I'm not right. The happy note. Then, all for our basis. This is all glorious. There's one grace to the problem.